Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful time that you have given us together to come in your presence and worship you and praise you together as one family, united in spirit because of your Son Jesus Christ. Thank you for the love that you have shown to us even when we were yet sinners. And even when we were unfaithful to you, you have loved us and you sent your Son to die for us so that we could have that eternal life and come before you and call you Father. We marvel at your majesty and power. At the same time, we are astonished and amazed by the grace and mercy that you shower upon us every day. It is only because of your grace that we are alive. It is only because of your mercies that we enjoy everything that we have in our lives. We thank you for your blessing upon us. We thank you for the time that you have given us together to come here and worship you. Above all, we pray for your guidance and protection for us, especially during this time, to be your faithful witnesses in this place and wherever you place us, Lord. Help us today to worship you in truth and in spirit. Bless us with your presence in our midst today, that as we go from this place, we will feel the power of the Holy Spirit that go with us so that we can be more powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. We thank you for giving us this opportunity and bless us with your word, with the praises and the prayers that we make here, Lord, in all those things. Let your name be lifted up and your people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So greeting time now. If you can get up and greet each other in Christian love, and I will unmute. And those of you who are on the line online. Good morning, Jean. Nice to see you online. You have a nice car behind you.
Yeah, I like old
trucks. Nice to see you.
Hey, Gail.
Gail, you are muted. Martha, good morning.
Thanks, good morning.
Good morning, how are you, sir? How are you, sir? With all of this, I went one time.
We remain seated. We are going to sing Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. It's hymn number 405. Okay. We'll be singing both verses 1 and 2.
This is a beautiful song. Some of you may not know it, but you need to know it. because the words are great, the melody is great, and it's short, so that's a good thing too, okay? Okay, we're going to sing Seek Ye First.
Responsive reading is taken from Psalm 13 verses 1 through 6. If you are able, please stand. It's page 746. Steve has the pages turned.
So. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God.
Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death.
Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him.
Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken.
But I trust in your steadfast love.
My heart shall rejoice in your salvation.
I will sing to the Lord.
For the Lord has dealt bountifully with me.
The word of God for the peoples of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's our time of prayer now as we come before God as a church family to share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God for the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also at the same time, we have our concerns and our burdens. Together as a church family, united in one spirit, we bring those up to the throne of grace of God, and God's promise is that He will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. And with that boldness and trust in God, let us go to God in prayer. The regular prayer items are listed at the back of the bulletin if you want to turn with me at the back. Please continue to pray for these people and these items here, particularly some of the items that we regularly call out is about Martha and Jack. I heard that Jack is doing a lot better these days. Thanks be to God for that. And also Martha is also doing fine. She's online.
Yes, I have a praise. The chemo is working and my numbers are coming down the way we want them to.
Thanks be to God. God is good and God answers prayers.
Amen.
Amen. And we pray that our prayer is that Martha and Jack will come back to church one day. So let us continue to keep that trust in God, and we'll pray for that. And then please pray for Guillermo. As I mentioned earlier, he started his chemo this week. It's only start of the journey, and it's quite a journey, as many of you have experienced it for your dear ones and those who are going through that. And so we'll keep Guillermo and you in our prayers. Liliana, thanks for joining us. God is good. Please keep Bob Donald in our prayers. He's very weak because of mainly his old age, but during this winter also he's not feeling well. So please keep Bob in our prayers. Any other special call outs? Roxy?
Roxy, uh-huh.
Pray for a new job, okay.
And then my grandson Trenton, and not just Trenton, all the young people. We had a little talk yesterday, and he's just going through things that little 14-year-old boys go through.
Keep Trenton in our prayers as a young, keep all the young people in our prayers. Yeah, let us keep Miss Jean in our prayers.
Yeah. She says that my heart is out of rhythm and I didn't sleep last night. So.
Yeah, if you notice that Jean was here last Sunday and she left early because she was not feeling well and her heart is having some problems with the rhythm, so please keep her in our prayers as well.
And also Pastor, the McKenzie and the Stevenson family, they was here for James' funeral, but they buried their brother on yesterday in Mississippi.
McKenzie and what was the other one?
McKenzie and the Stevens family.
Stevens. Is it COVID or?
No, he had sickle cell in the
yes,
long
yes,
time.
And he had been sick for a long time.
That's why he didn't come to Jimmy's family.
Oh, okay. Are there any other call outs? Yes.
My ex-daughter-in-law will be that God is very real and he carries very good messages because she was able to know.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for the recovery. Thanks be to God for that. And let us continue to pray for our nation and the leaders of our country, President and Vice President, Cabinet members and Congress, lawmakers and governors of the states, that they will be guided by the Holy Spirit and God gives them the wisdom to do the right things and make good decisions. Let us be thankful for our service workers, our delivery people, police, fire, military and all those who are working every day, some of them around the clock, for protecting us, keeping us safe. Let us be thankful for their services and keep them in our prayers and their families in our prayers. If there are no other special call-outs, let us go to God in prayer. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, then I'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us go to God in prayer. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life that you have given us. To live in this world, to be a blessing here, Lord. It is not our choice, but it was your choice so that we will be able to have a life here and to be a blessing. Above all, we thank you for your love and your mercy that you shower upon us every day. Even in the midst of our unfaithfulness, your faithfulness follows us everywhere, Lord, and you keep us safe and you keep us protected. And you give us everything that we need, even before we ask of it. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for, above all, for your Son Jesus Christ who came to this world to take on our suffering and our sins and our griefs and our death so that we can enjoy the peace and the joy that God has provided for us so that we can come to you and call you Father. Thank you for all the blessings you gave us through your Son. You are also here are sharing our prayers of concerns and blessings as well. We thank you for all the people who have blessed us during this time and during this time of pandemic and all the problems that we have been going through. We also thank you for the healing that you have given to many of us. We continue healing for Martha. Thank you for the good news that we heard here today. Be with her and Richard and bless them as a family with your peace and your presence. We thank you for the good news that we heard about Jan's daughter-in-law, that she was able to go back home with the COVID and was able to recover. Bless her with your peace and comfort again and continue your healing hand on her, Lord. Pray for the family's peace at this time. We also thank you for Jack, as we heard that he's feeling much better these days. We pray for your continued healing upon him and touch him with your healing hand. And also we pray for Linda. Bless her with your peace and comfort them as a family. We also pray for Jean, as she's struggling with some issues with her heart. Be with her also, Lord, and touch her with your healing hand and be with her and give her peace. We pray for Guillermo as he started his chemo. We pray for your special blessing be upon him. Pray for the doctors and nurses who treat him, Lord. Bless them with your wisdom. Bovard, we pray for peace in his heart during this time. And also Liliana, who has to take care of a lot of things and also his care. Bless her with the strength and help she needs in her body and in her soul and spirit. It is not easy sometimes in this world, Lord, when we go through situations. But here we are together as your children, united in spirit to support each other. We pray for them as a special family at this time, so that your healing hand and your comforting presence be with them as a family. We pray for all of those who are struggling with various problems and sicknesses and diseases like that. We pray for Trenton as we pray for all of our young people to be with them and give them your guidance, the Holy Spirit, that they will fear God and fear others, that they will respect and be respectful to this community. And thank you for being with him, giving the peace that he needs and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the future, that he'll be guided by your Spirit every day. With a prayer for Roxy as she's looking for a new job, bless her with your guidance, Lord. Whatever she has in her heart, Lord, give her the right job at the right time according to your grace and mercy. We also lift up the Mackenzie and the Stevens family as they are grieving at the death of their dear one. Bless them with your peace and guidance and also your comforting presence. We pray for all those who are struggling like that with various illnesses and diseases and problems in their lives. You are the only one who can make us whole, because you are the creator of our bodies and our life. And you know what is good for us. And we trust in your promise that you will give us the best when according to your time and your will. We thank you for always being there listening to our prayers. We pray for our nation. We pray for peace in this world and in this country and around the world. We pray for our president and the leaders or the lawmakers and the leaders of the states and the governors who make decisions on a daily basis that affect us. Be with them and give them the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that they will do the right things. We thank you for all of our military, police and service workers, firefighters, delivery workers, trash workers, a lot of people who work day and night supporting us. We thank you for all of their services. At the same time, we pray for their safety and the safety of their families. Be with them and give them the grace and the skills that they need these days, Lord. We thank you again for this church together, that we can gather in your name and worship you together and to be a witness in this community. Help us, Lord, in the future, and guide us with your Holy Spirit to do the right things, that we can be more faithful and more effective witnesses for you in this community and around the world. Give us the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the obedience and the humility to follow your will, to do whatever you want us to do. Be with us today as we worship together, to worship you in truth and in spirit. Bless us with us, your presence, each one of us, Lord. Touch our hearts today in our meditation of the word, in the praises and the prayers we make in everything. Touch our hearts, Lord, that we will be transformed and be empowered as we go from this place. Thank you again for blessing us. Thank you again for hearing our prayers. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offering, please. Scripture says, whoever gives generously will also reap generously, and God loves a cheerful giver. Loving God, you are the source of all that we have and we are. We come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand in Jesus Christ you have given us everything that we need, even more than we could ever deserve. And help us to be faithful stewards of your abundance in this world. We thank you for all those who were able to give today, and pray for those who could not give here today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Help us to use this to glorify your name in this community around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have a first timer this morning for our
Please
chapel.
Be seated.
Amen.
This is her first time singing at Piedmont. She said ever. This is her first time. Margaret's going to sing Just a Closer Walk.
Yay. Amen.
Give her a hand clap. First, God's Word says, make your joyful noise unto the Lord. So that's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
But also, remember, you're in church. We don't move. But this song is a good song, and I've always loved it. And it is hard to walk close to Jesus. I mean, in this bad time, any time, but we have to keep walking with Him. And so just say a prayer that I can get through this, because I'm very nervous, as you know, anybody would be.
Oh, you'll be all right.
She did great when we practiced.
You'll be all right.
Thank you.
we have some hidden talents here.
Amen.
Should be able to have some more here, probably singing. The scripture reading is taken from Genesis chapter 42, verses 18 through 22 and verses 36 through 38. If you are able, please stand for the scripture reading.
On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this, and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison, while the rest of you go and take grain back to your starving households. But you must bring your youngest brother to me, so that your words may be verified, and that you may not die." This they proceeded to do. They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come on us." Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an accounting for his blood." They did not realize that Joseph could understand them, since he was using an interpreter. Then their father Jacob said to them, "You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more, and now you want to take Benjamin? Everything is against me." Then Reuben said to his father, "You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back." But Jacob said, "My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word that you have given us, Lord, to be life and spirit. Help us, Lord, to receive your word in humility and obedience, so that it will become life and spirit in us, and also become life and spirit to this world through us. Bless us with your wisdom to know the spiritual truths, and also to apply that in our lives, and to obey you in whatever way that you want us to follow you, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Today we are talking about a man by name Jacob. You probably have already heard these stories from me before. I have preached about Jacob and Joseph before as well. But this is a story that comes to me all the time when many things don't go the way that I planned, and it comes and gives you a lot of agony and headache. A lot of times it is good to know and to experience that everything is going the way we planned. That's the way we like it. But how many times does it happen? The reality of life is that we plan everything, and there is a course of events that happen, and it takes it way its own, right? Many times it is not the way that you have planned. But thank God there are so many things that go the way we planned.
Yeah.
And it is God's blessing as well. The problem is that we forget the many things that go the way we planned when some things don't go the way that we planned. We forget all the other things. And then we complain and we become frustrated and cry and complain like this man Jacob did. As you know, this chapter that we read has a lot of history behind it, chapter 42 in Genesis. And these passages that we heard today has a lot of history behind it. And on the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this, that you will live, for I fear God." If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go and take grain back for your starving households. So that's the big background he's talking about there. It happened around like somewhere in the 1600 to 1700 BC, somewhere around that time when Jacob lived in this world. And as you all know that he was the father of the 12 tribes, and he was called to be the father of the 12 tribes and of Israel. And he had an interesting start in his life, and I didn't want to go through all of that at, because you probably have heard me preach about it. But at the same time, he was not a very good obedient person before God in the beginning. He was a cheater. He cheated his father. He cheated his brother with his birthright. And because of all of these cheatings and schemings that he did, he finally had to run for his life. That's what happens to people, right? When you have a lot of schemes and plans and things that you can become successful by cheating others, eventually something is going to find you and you will have to run for life. So Jacob became enemy of his brother, and his brother was going to kill him. So he decided to leave his family and his home place and go to another place, his mother's home in a far distant place. So he went there, and you know, life was okay there because he was always a hard-working person, a very good planner, a good schemer. He can be a good, I don't know, real estate agent or insurance agent or whatever. But he is a very good businessman, and he was able to do a lot of things for his father-in-law when he went to the other place and got married there. And there's a lot of story behind the marriage and all that that I don't want to go here now. And but always there was this thing behind him in his bottom of the heart. No matter how much success that he has made, there's one thing that was nagging him, was there is somebody there still who wants to get you. So even if you have all the money in the world and all the wealth in the world and all the things that you wanted in your life, there is always that threat that takes away the joy and the peace in your life, because there is a brother who is after you to kill you if he finds you or sees you. That's not a good place to be, no matter how much wealth you have, that you don't have peace in your life. So eventually he had all of this success, and eventually he decided to return back to his family and to face, what do you call it, to face the music? That's what they call it. Yeah, so he decided to come and face the music, face his brother and see what happens and settle it and pray for the good thing to happen. And God is a good God, and he called Jacob for a purpose. No matter how he had gone away from God's plans, and he always dragged him back. He does that all the time for us. Amen. When we become unfaithful, God is always faithful. When we stray away from God, God's grace is always there following us so that he can direct you back. So there is no place where we can hide from God or we can run away from God. And we heard that through many of these saints that I have spoken to you in the past several Sundays. So God's grace is always there bringing us back to him, no matter how far you go away from him. So here he came back, and then he had a good life, and he settled down. And then, you know, along this way he asked for one wife, and he got two wives, and all of that big story there. And then Rachel, the wife that he liked more and he loved more, died on the way, on his way back. And during that death happened, the death happened during a childbirth, the last son, Benjamin's childbirth that happened. And among all of these happenings that were happening in Jacob's life, there was another thing that happened, where Joseph, the son of Sarah, son of Rachel, I'm sorry, Jacob and Rachel, Rachel, his loving wife, was not very well liked by his brothers, because he always had these dreams. And he dreamt that he was elevated to a big position, and everybody else bowed down before him. And the brothers thought that they were going to bow before their younger brother, and they didn't really like it. So they decided to planned a plot to kill him. And they took him out there one time, and in the desert they actually tried to kill him. But for some reason it was also providence and God's planning that they actually did not kill him, but he was sold to foreign merchants, the Egyptian merchants who were going by that time. And they took him, and these brothers came back to their father and said a wild animal killed his son, Joseph. And that's how the story went. So Jacob was very upset because he was one of the dearest children, because he loved him so much because of his love towards Rachel. And he was very heartbroken. And then things started moving on, and he thought his son was lost and gone, and dead and gone. And his wife, beloved wife Rachel, died on the way one time. And his father recently died as well after that. So many things have happened together. And there is a big famine that came during that time, and he was all struggling. And most of his wealth had started to disappear because of the famine. And so he was affected by so many things, hitting from various angles. His wife died, his father died, his dear son Joseph, whom he loved, also supposed to be died. And now there's a famine, he's losing his wealth, and they don't have food in the land. And then they found out that there is food in the neighboring country, Egypt, which they don't really have anything to do with. They don't like Egyptians because they worship idols and stuff like that, but they had food. So they had grains and barns. So Jacob told his sons to go and get some grain from Egypt. So he sent all of his sons, except the younger son Benjamin, who died during the childbirth. I mean, who Rachel died during the childbirth of Benjamin. So he kept Benjamin there and sent the rest of them to get the grain from Egypt. And they went to the palace. Lo and behold, what happened? The Egyptian the merchants who took Joseph to their country, and they sold him to the palace, and he was raised there, and he became the prime minister of Egypt eventually. You can read all of that stuff in Genesis. See how things work together. And I think I preached here, I did preach here about the puzzle pieces of life, how the puzzles fit together in various events. God weaves a better picture that we can see. And if you remember, Linda told me that all the puzzles that she had in her home when we went to her house. Because these puzzle pieces don't look anything like the big picture when you look at it in a bag. And you put them together, they become a really beautiful picture. That's what puzzles do. So that's how God weaves our life as a beautiful picture, even though we may not understand each piece in the puzzle. Each event in our life may not be very pleasant for us, or may not make many sense for us many times. But when it all is put together, God can make it beautiful at the end. So here Jacob is hit hard from all the sides, and he's grieving, and he is praying to God that everything is against me. Because these sons went to Egypt, and they did not know that Joseph became the prime minister there, and he is in charge of all the grains and the barns and all the things that is in store. But Joseph recognized his brothers, right? So Joseph recognized his brothers, but he did not reveal himself to them. So they went there and asked them, you know, he questioned them, why are you here? So we are here because we wanted to get some grain. There's famine in our land. So we have brought some gifts for you and all of that stuff. And Joseph said, well, tell me more about you. You are here for, I don't believe you. I don't believe you guys. We think you are coming from another country to spy on us. You are enemies for us. So I wanted to check out some things for you. So tell me more things about you. So they told him, then we are a family of 12 brothers, and one of them is dead, or one of them is no more, that's what they said. And then our father is old and he's there. And then Joseph said, so you have 12 brothers. So you have one more back home. So they did not respect that. So Benjamin is still home, the youngest one. And Jacob would not let him go anywhere, because he already got, you know, the experience from Joseph being lost. He didn't want his youngest son to be lost. So he was holding on to him. So Joseph made a big plan here and said, "Hey, I want to see your younger brother. If you are saying true, you are truthful, I want to test you and make sure that I want to see your younger brother. Go back and bring your younger brother." They knew it was not going to happen, because Jacob would not let him go anywhere. He loved him so much, and it's going to be really bad for Jacob to hear this message. So what Joseph said was, "You want to keep one of your brothers here so that you can, rest of you can go back and bring Benjamin back." Well, they had no choice. They had to leave one of those brothers there, Simeon, and then go back and get Benjamin to come back and get Simeon back. That's when we read this verse that we just read here today about Jacob saying, when they came back and told Jacob that Simeon is being held as a hostage there, and the king there, or the prime minister there, does not believe us, so they wanted us to bring Benjamin also to make sure that we are truthful. And Jacob was heartbroken. That's when he's saying, "Everything is against me. Everything is against me. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is here, not here anymore, and now you want to take my son Benjamin too? Is that what you guys want?" And that's when he says that everything is against me. Many times we feel ourselves, or we find ourselves in situations like that, that everything seems to be against us. And recently, a few years ago, I read a guy who was in Tennessee. His name is Justin Hill. It came in the newspaper. 42 years old, he was driving outside to go to work from his driveway, and he got into a crash right in front of his house. And then his wife heard the crash from the kitchen and ran out into the front and saw her husband in the crash. And she went to help him. In the meantime, there was something cooking in the kitchen, and the kitchen caught fire. So the house was on fire, the guy was in accident, and the fire came, and the firefighter who came to help him had to put out the fire for his house. And finally he was taken to the hospital, and when he was released, he got a ticket for not yielding to the traffic. So this is what happens, you know, sometimes all of these things come together and hit you so hard. It's a real story. Sometimes if you can go back and look at our experiences, it happens like that. A lot of bad things come and hit us together. But in the midst of all of these things, sometimes the ones that we like to hold on to, like Benjamin, we have to let it go. We may have to let these things go. That's when the real peace will come. Many times we think that having Benjamin, holding on to him, will bring me peace. But that may not be the case. Whatever we are holding on to dear to us, God may want us to take it away from us. It is not because he doesn't love you. It is because he has something better planned for you so that you can love him more and better. So whatever sometimes we hold on to us, thinking that it's the best for us, may not be good for us. Because if Benjamin doesn't go, you're going to starve and die. That's what will happen. But if you let Benjamin go and release him, God is going to bring a big good news with the blessings, not only of food, but also the best news of your life, that Joseph is alive. When we let go of the things that we are holding on to, God has a better plan and a better news for us, waiting for us. So as Jacob, with all these struggles, finally had to let Benjamin go with them. And then when Joseph saw Benjamin coming back, he hugged him, because he was his youngest brother, probably had never seen him before, because I don't know if he was there when Benjamin was born. We don't know the whole story. But he was so excited to see that brother he has never seen before. That's what I think happened. And he was very happy. And he cried so much. And the whole palace and Egyptians heard his cry. That's what we read in the Bible, because of his joy. And then he revealed himself to his brothers. And he said that this is the brother, I am the brother that you have sold to the Egyptians one day. You were plotting to kill me, but God made your plans to be better, a blessing for us, whole family for the future.
Amen.
I am here because of God's plan is fulfilling in my life through us. He did not have any revenge. He did not have anything against them that he says, because he's so happy that we were able to join together as a family. And eventually, they were able to go back and let Jacob know the good news that your son Joseph is alive. He's not really alive, but he's the prime minister of Egypt. Can you believe that? A country that we don't think we have anything to do with. That is how God blesses his people.
Amen.
So whatever is binding us, because of how we hold on to things, let us release those things. Whatever it be, give it to the hands of God. God, it is not mine. You gave it to me. I have nothing to boast about it or hold on, any right to hold on to anything. My health, my family, or my wealth, my job, it is all yours. Take it and use it. And that's when the real good news of the blessing will come. And eventually they all got together, and the 12 tribes of Israel happened because Joseph was able to come back, and they were all able to join together. Eventually, Jacob had to go to Egypt and settle down there and continue his life in Egypt at that time. That's how they ended up in Egypt. And we'll come to that story maybe eventually at some time. This is how God works through in our lives. So whatever we are going through now, it may not be pleasant, it may not make sense to us, but God makes sense to every little thing that happens to us. He makes very good sense of that. And trust in that promise, because he's an almighty God. He's our creator, he's our sustainer, and he will make sure that he will keep us through all of these things. So hold on to each other as well, as we together as a church family, united in spirit, help each other and support each other. At the same time, trusting in a God who is almighty and powerful, who can make the best things out of our lives. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is, It Is Well With My Soul. This is a hymn that many of you know the background of this hymn, that who wrote this hymn is Horatio Spafford, was a businessman in Chicago who sent four daughters in a shipwreck on their way to England. And his wife was the only one who was saved. And she was saved and rescued and taken to England. And he was not with them. And on his way to England, another ship to meet her, on the same path that they were going, the ship was passing through the same spot where his daughters perished. He was heartbroken and in grief. That's when he prayed to God, and God gave him this music, this hymn. That's when he wrote this, It Is Well With My Soul, in the ship while he was traveling through that same ocean.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, and sorrows like sea billows roll, far there my Lord, thou hast
It people of God, go in the knowledge that there is a God who goes with us no matter where we are. He knows everything that is happening to us. And like a puzzle, He puts everything together for the good and will have a beautiful picture at the end, even though each puzzle may not make sense to us, but it makes sense to our God. Now go in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. First verse of God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet.